when I was preparing this message, I got a picture of this church. And it wasn't orange. I did say that maybe we should have some green, Dan, because we're an eco church. But the picture I got was a bag of all sorts. Now, of course, Jamie now, of course, is having a sabbatical, having a long holiday. No, better not say that. But Jamie, I hope you're not listening online, Jamie. I mean, do remember to pray for him because it is very special. And I thought, well, every Sunday from now on, you're going to have somebody different preaching. I think there's one person that's going to do it twice, but the rest, there's enough people in this church, which is amazing, and they can pass on the word of God. That is absolutely amazing. And so really, a picture of all sorts. Do they have, can you still get licorice all sorts? Oh, you can. Basset all sorts. And of course, they are very different, aren't they? Some are round, some are square. They will have all different flavours, but they have one thing in common, and that is licorice. Yes. And when we are actually going to have these, the word from other, you know, different people all through the through these next 3 months, I wonder what the Lord's going to say to us. Now, I know that the main theme will be Jesus. I know that because that's what the children always say. But I wonder what the Lord is going to say to us. So be interesting. I don't like this thing here. So, last week, do you remember what Paul Curley spoke about? That God is faithful. Yeah, Paul, they've caught it. Yeah. And what I want to say actually follows on from this. And it's that God is faithful to me. To us. Am I faithful to him? Are we faithful to him in our walk with him? I'm going to read a quote from something that Diane Regan wrote. Her husband and Patrick, is it Patrick or Paul? Patrick and her, they co-founded Kintsugi Hope, and of course we've had courses here about and which has helped us, and especially our whole well-being in the cafe is based on this. And she tells how they were running an icebreaker activity in one of their well-being group meetings. And she writes, can I have the first picture, please? There we are. That's a desert island. It's not Bognor. And she said, we asked the question, if you were stranded on an island and could have any three things, not the Bible. I mean, the Bible would be there anyway, you know. The practical things. What would they be? Now, what would you think? A what? I didn't hear that. Thank you, Jonathan. Well, they chose a knife, a fishing rod, and a solar-powered mobile phone with a signal. Had to have the signal. And then they were pushed to actually choose one. A knife or a fishing rod or a mobile phone, solar powered with a signal. What do you think they chose? Oh, do you? Oh, they've chose the phone. That's right, they did. And she writes this. She said, we are built for connection. It is wired into us as part of our DNA. God designed us this way. And David wrote, she said, in Psalm 27, and I preached on this, the one thing I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after. And what is it? To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To dwell. You know, that means to live in God, live in God. When? Not in eternity, but now, all the days of my life. And when the Lord gave me this message in January, I thought, Lord, I've already spoken about this quite a few times in the church, and it's about time I had something different, but I didn't put it quite like that. But, and the Lord reminded me of what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, and this is from the Message, when he was repeating some teaching, Paul was repeating what he'd already said. And he said, I don't mind repeating what I've written in earlier letters. Is this funny? Is this all right? Yeah. And I hope you don't mind hearing it again. Better safe than sorry. So here goes. And so here goes. I'm going to spell shame it. How can we remain faithful? Can I have the first? Thank you. And it's, I want to talk about what Jude wrote. It's the shortest, one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's the penultimate book in the New Testament. And Jude was the brother of James, and James was the brother of Jesus. So Jude must have been a brother of Jesus, but it doesn't actually say that. And he wrote, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now we're going to, I'm a school teacher, so we're going to all read it together. Okay? But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Build. I'm concentrating on the two words, build and keep. Now, build yourselves up obviously means studying the Word of God. So important. Not just having something quick on your phone and that's it for the day, or reading a few Bible notes. It's to study. And the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, search the Scriptures because they tell of me. And then Paul says, you know, study to prove yourself acceptable unto God. And it's so important that we actually do study the Bible. And another way of building ourselves up, of course, is prayer. And the Bible says, pray always. We think, well, I can't pray, you know, but we can, because prayer is only talking. It's just talking to Jesus, talking to the Father. And we can do that anywhere and any time. And then, of course, there's church. And just, you know, we need each other, folk. We need each other. And in this world that's so secular and so busy, we need to be able to relate to people. So church is not just coming, you know, once in a blue moon. We need each other. We need to be here. And I'm glad you're here. Yes. But we need to build each other up. You know, so you see somebody down, somebody who's upset, go and chat with them. You know, and we have it on the phone line, on the mobile phones and WhatsApp, all about how we can help each other. You know, somebody's sick or somebody needs a lift. We're a family, so let's sort of build ourselves up in this way, and then keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, how do I keep myself in the love of God? Now, in the Old Testament, there's a lovely story, a story of two lovers. One is a prince and one is a shepherdess. And they fall in love, and the prince takes her into his palace. And there's lots of ups and downs in the story as it goes along. But there's one time when he's out, I don't know what he was doing, if he was working or I don't know what he was doing, but she'd gone to bed and she was asleep and she'd shut the door and she she'd had a shower and she also had her PJs on or whatever they wore in those days. And he came knocking at the door. Come on, open the door, let me in. She said, what, this time of night? No way, I'm not going to let anybody in now. Look, I'm in my pyjamas, I'm not going to get dressed again. I've had a wash, I'm not going to get dirty again. No way. And he kept on knocking. And then, because she was awake inside, she suddenly realised, I'm going to lose him. So she went to the door, opened it, and guess what? He wasn't there. And then she had to search for him and search for him, and she had lots of problems in searching for him. And in the end, she did find him. I'll put you out of your misery. But what I want to talk about today, all that is leading up to something that I call the nothing between life. That's it. And I want it to me, that is so important in my own Christian life, to have nothing between me, a door between me and the Lord Jesus, between me and the Father, between me and the Holy Spirit. And you know, we are saved. We have our salvation is free. We don't have to do anything. But the Bible is always telling us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. Build yourselves up continually. Keep yourselves in the love of God. God's love is there, but things can come in between me and him, and my walk with him is not as it should be. So I'm going to talk about three cons. Not the cons where you're defrauded, but this is a con that's a prefix. And the first one is conscience. Now, we can have a good conscience or a seared conscience. And I'm not a psychologist, and I know that this is a very deep study, to study the conscience. But I know one thing, and I think you might agree with me, I've got one. Have you got one? Yeah, that's right. And it actually says that, and I found this quote, conscience is an inherent ability of every healthy human being to perceive what is right and what is wrong. And C.S. Lewis, who was an Oxford Don, who became a Christian quite later on in his life, he wrote Mere Christianity and The Problem of Pain, and he also wrote my favourite books, The Chronicles of Narnia. That's right. And he says, with a tongue in his cheek, an inherited human beings all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way and cannot get rid of it. And I know that from when I worked in Africa with a tribe of people that only got the gospel in the 1930s. And they had a conscience. And it wasn't perhaps the same way as we might have it, but God used this to speak to them. And they knew when they had offended the evil spirit. So they believed in God, but he was far away and just not interested in them, according to them. But evil spirits, they knew sometimes if a calamity hit them, if they had sickness in the family or death, or if the crops failed, then they would say, well, what have we done? What have we done? And then they would take chickens and goats and guinea fowl and cattle and sacrifice to appease these spirits. They knew inside that they'd done something wrong. And what I think is so wonderful is we folks, look, as I look around, we've got temples all around. You're a temple, a house of God, and he's dwelling in you. You might not feel like it, but that's it, and we've got the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit touches our conscience, that is the wonderful thing, so that the barrier between us is not there anymore. Do you get any sort of Holy Spirit nudges? Do you know what my latest one is? It's recycling and washing it and making sure that it's all clean before I put it in the bag. Wash it, put it in. I mean, it might be completely different for you, but that's what the Lord's spoken to me about. Have you got any other things that you can think of? The Holy Spirit touches you. How about blessing somebody when they cut you off in the car? Yes, that's a good one. Keeping to the speed limit? Yes. Who's laughing like that? Hey. yes, all these things that, you know, and if you're in the supermarket and you're getting some clothes and one drops on the floor, you pick it up. And then the Lord says, what about that one over there that somebody else has dropped? You think, what? Pick it up. Oh, it's just these little things, but he smiles and he enjoys it with us. So afterwards, if you want to tell me how he's touched your conscience, just let me know. Now, Jamie has actually spoken twice about what I want to talk about now. And I was thinking, Lord, you know, do you want me to say it again? And he does. And it's on forgiveness. And the first one is from Mark 11. And it says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. Now, Jamie dealt with this. But what I want to say is, against anyone, forgive them. In a way, no, it's not easy, but if somebody's done something to you, yes, you are to forgive. I always think of that father in, was it Enniskillen, when the bomb blew up a whole lot of people and his daughter was there. And he said immediately, I forgive them. And that touched the nation. The nation was touched by forgiveness. And the thing is, too, if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. And so I've been searching my heart and saying, Lord, I mean, consciences are different. You know, God touches us in different ways. But there is the basic, and this is one of the basics, that we have to forgive in order to have forgiveness ourselves. How dare I ask God to forgive me if I haven't forgiven somebody else? And then the next one, and I think this one's hard. Therefore, if you enter a place of worship and are about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. It's okay, that's their problem. They've got a grudge against you. The Bible says, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to the friend and make things right, and then and only then come back and work things out with God. That's something, isn't it? You know, somebody's got a grudge against you. I'll try and be quick with this one, but I had an incident in Africa where to do with a fan on a stand. Now, I lived in an area where there was no electricity. And I'd come home on leave, and I found out that the Lord didn't want me to continue in Africa, but I had to go back and give away all my belongings and sort it out. And somehow or another, in the garage where all my belongings were there was this fan. And I knew that it had been given to a pastor whose wife had died in hospital in the capital city, or the next to capital city. And she'd had cancer, and when in third world countries, you have to have, you know, you as a family, you go and sleep and you look after the sick person. And the nurses just give you the medication and that's all, but they don't look after them. That's what they did. But somebody gave them some money to buy this fan because it was so hot out there and she needed to be cooled down. And of course, when she died, the fan came back to where we were. And the pastor, he was in a village where they didn't have any electricity. So he didn't want this thing. But then I heard that there was a pastor in a town where there was electricity. And he was saying, she's kept that, it's mine. Why is Mum, you know, Joe kept this? And he had a real grudge against me. And I had one day, I was going back the next day to England, and I had one day to go and sort this out. And I thought, well, what I'll do, I'll just write a little note and just say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't keep it, I had no idea it was given to you. And the Lord said to me, no, go and talk to him and put it right. And I'm so glad I did, because that would have gone on forever and ever, wouldn't it? And you know, that's how you react. But of course, I must say that if there's an abusive situation, then you have to be careful of this, that there's that side. So, I like gardening. Anybody here like gardening? Good. Do you like the insects and the bees and the, you know, the butterflies coming in? What about slugs? What about snails? No, we're not so keen on those. And this is like me going up and down. Okay. Oh gosh. Thank you. Rescue me, Simon. Thank you. I think it's too, just a bit lower, please. Thank you so much. And they had, we're talking about slugs and snails, weren't we? And in, there's a lovely verse in Song of Songs, and it talks about foxes. Now, foxes are beautiful creatures, aren't they? They're lovely. We see them in the these areas around about here. But if you ask a poultry farmer what he thinks of a fox. And the Bible says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, the little foxes, okay, the little. Mm-hmm. Our vineyards that are in bloom. And apparently the foxes used to get into the vineyards and dig up the roots, and also they used to nip off the little buds. And Joyce Meyer, I don't know if any of you know her, seen her on television. She has an American lady who has a terrific teaching ministry. This really touched me, and it says, I'm thinking of this barrier, you know, in between us. Watch the little foxes in your life. Forgive even the most minor offences so that your heart stays clean. There's nothing between, nothing between. Do not cut corners in your finances or on the job when you think that no one will notice. Do not expose yourself to ungodly influences. And aren't there a lot around now? Oh, online, what you can see, you know, on the TV, what you can watch. And we have to be so careful. I have to be so careful. Sometimes I put a program on, I think, what? Turn it off. So sometimes it's good to know what people are watching, but you just have to be careful. Do not expose yourself to ungodly influences, thinking it won't hurt me this once. Little things add up to big things. And before you know it, little foxes can ruin a strong, healthy vine. Yeah. And so we need to maintain a good conscience between God, nothing between us and God. And he can help us. He'll show us. The Holy Spirit is faithful. He will show us what we should do. And a seared conscience, that's what the Bible also talks about. We don't want a seared conscience. You know when you cauterize a wound? That's what it is. When you cauterize a wound, you make the skin dry and hard. And that's what we could have, you know. God doesn't want us to have that kind of conscience. He wants us to have a conscience that's sensitive to him. But if I don't listen to him, and I continually don't listen to the Holy Spirit in my life, then my conscience can become seared. The next one is conform. Am I conformed in the image of the world, or am I conformed in the image of the Son? Paul wrote to the Romans, and this is a verse I've often quoted, do not conform to any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know when you make gingerbread men, you get the cutter, you put it in, and that's when it takes the form of the cutter. And that's what conform means. It means to take the shape of the mould. And in those days, they used to make bricks, and of course, they put the clay in, and it took the shape of the mould. And I like it how the message says this. Don't become so well acquainted or adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Now, what does it mean by the world? Who's the prince of this world? Thank you. Satan is the prince of this world, and he'll do anything to put a barrier between us, between me and my Saviour Jesus. And John wrote, don't love the world's ways, don't love the world's goods. There's nothing wrong with goods, but it's getting the balance, isn't it? Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. And we are influenced, aren't we? We were just talking earlier on as we were welcoming people that the in colour is orange and the in colour is green. Well, when I go in the shop and I look and I think, well, I can't wear that colour. I can't wear green. But who said it? I don't know. Where does it come from? The fashion gurus, I expect. And I remember when I went to, when I came back from working in Africa once, when I went out, all the ladies were wearing miniskirts. But when I came back, they were all down to their ankles. And I thought, well, where did that come from? Where did that change, you know? And apparently the in colour for decorating the house, I thought was grey and white, but apparently it's changed. Well, who told me? It's green. Did you know that? Well, you better... And I don't know, everybody, houses seem to all want cladding now. Have you noticed? A lot of houses have cladding. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, where does all this come from? And what about, you know, if you go shopping? I was talking with Kim and she was telling me, you don't have an ordinary Tesco bag or you don't have an ordinary Sainsbury's bag. What do you have? Oh. Yes. Yes. it's just you know, smiling a bit, but that's how it is, isn't it? We can be so influenced by our culture. Even our language can change and the way that we look at things. So don't all go out and buy a bag with hearts on, whatever you do. And God wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. When people see you and when people talk to you, do they see Jesus? That's the main thing. Yeah. All right. And I'm going to put a little extra one in. And that's compromise. It is so easy to compromise with the world. And we're called not to do that. And if I don't repair the brakes on my car, I compromise my safety. And if I cheat, I compromise my integrity. And I think the biggest thing for us as Christians is relationships. You can compromise, say, it's all right, I can go with that person. She's not a Christian, he's not a Christian, but it's okay. It'll work out all right. They'll become a Christian. And, you know, it doesn't always work like that. And so compromise is something that we have to watch, or I have to watch. Next one is conscious. Now, if you're learning English, I'm sorry, because conscience and conscious, it really is a hard language, isn't it? And so I want to talk about conscious. Pardon? Is it? Oh, it's wrong up there then. What does it say? Does it? Thank you. Oops. Thank you, Richard. He helped me, so bless his heart. Anyway, it's conscious. Okay, thank you, Simon. We can either be awake or asleep. Who's awake now? Come on. Oh, yes, you are. Good, 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 good. Yeah. And, you know, I suppose most of us have had an operation and we wake up, don't we, afterwards. And you suddenly, you're aware. There's a nurse there or you're in the ward or somebody's offering you a cup of tea. And, what else? Yeah, you know that you're alive and you're okay. And the Latin word, now let me just see. Oh yes. The Latin word in the original was knowing or being aware. And to know, you develop a relationship with someone through meeting and through spending time with them. You know, if there's a child playing, they know that their mum is nearby. They know subconsciously. And my favourite verse in the Bible is this one. My determined purpose is that I might know him, Jesus, that I may progressively become more intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Let's just pull something out of that. Intimately acquainted. Wonders of his person. And that's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. When you get up in the morning, do you say, I love you, Lord Jesus? When you're perhaps walking along somewhere, oh, thank you, Lord, for that beautiful sky. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that person. Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, I'm not married, but I'm sure that, couples do still say, I love you. There's a story of that man, isn't it, whose wife said that he never told her that he loved her. And he said, well, I said it at my wedding vows, and that's enough. And, you know, just telling him that we love him. Thanking him for what he's done for us, his goodness. Thanking him for when it's tough. And, you know, we were talking about, we were singing so much of these songs about he's running after us. He's there. He's running. He wants us to know him. And he doesn't want any barrier. And he wants us just to enter into the fullness of the life that he can give us. What it means is this conscious, have we got the right word now? Yes, he has. Yes. Conscious awareness of his presence, talking to him. And sometimes you might not feel that he's there. And sometimes we go through the times in life when we don't feel his presence, but he's there. He's there. And if you're going through a dark time now, he's there. He's with you. And he might be withdrawing his presence, but he's there. So just hang on there. You will come through. And then talking to him about everything that affects me. You don't have to ask him what colour socks you wear today. Or, yeah. But, in all our decisions, we can say, Lord, you just show me, what do you want me to do? What's on today, and how do I go about it? And then enjoy him. Yes. Isn't it wonderful to enjoy Jesus? Yeah, and to know him. And if you don't have this relationship with him, seek him. You don't have to do anything special except to seek him. And if you seek him, you will find him. And I'm the same. I seek him. I still want to know more and more the wonders of his person. Now, Jonathan Lex. Yes, yes. We were talking several years ago about the hymn books that we used in our little mission churches. And I said, I used to have this one. Anybody else use this one? Yes, that's right. Jonathan did. And Fiona, it's actually got your husband's name in it. And one of the songs that, one of the hymns that was in this book is this one. Nothing between, Lord, nothing between. Let me thy glory see. Draw my soul close to thee. Then speak in love to me, nothing between. Now, this isn't a message to condemn, but it's to connect. As we said right at the beginning, God wants to connect. Right in the Garden of Eden when man sinned, he said, where are you? And that's what he's saying today. Some of us might not know him. He's saying, where are you? I'm here. Come on, find me. And I get quite emotional because it's trying to express something that's so deep and so wonderful that he wants to connect with us. The God of the universe wants to connect with us and he wants to walk with us. And we have him in us. Let's keep our temple clean so that there's nothing between us. God bless.